Psalm chapter 18, the title of my sermon is Get Lit. Yay! Get Lit. And I know all the young adults are like, yeah, Pastor, you think you're cool? You know, that's our word. Stop using our lingo. Well, let me tell you young adults something. That the first time the term get lit was ever spoken was in 1918. Yeah, that's right. So all you young adults saying, yeah, you guys, you old people think you're cool and that. Yeah, we are cool. We're cooler than you because we set the standard. In 1918, the British sailors, the fishermen, would go out for like months at a time, come back and bring the fish in. They would all join us in a saloon and they would get lit. True story, you can look it up. They would get lit, and in other words, they would get so intoxicated that they would do nothing but smile because they were out, you know, smelling like fish for months at a time. So they were so happy to be on land and drinking with their buddies. All the boats would come in, and they'd all drink and get lit. But you weren't lit until you had a smile on your face. I'm serious. That's what get lit means. It means you're so intoxicated that you can do nothing but smile. Somebody will curse you out, and you go... Somebody will say something bad about you, and you just smile at them. And what did they say? This guy must be lit. Huh? She was there? So as Christians, we need to get lit. Don't go drinking. You know what I'm saying? Intoxicated with the Holy Ghost that you can do nothing but smile everywhere you go. And, you know, because you can't be, one word gets said and you go south and you get mad and you get angry. It doesn't matter what people say. We should get lit and stay lit. Psalm 18, you there? Did I say that? Psalm 18? Psalm 18. Let's talk about getting lit. Yes, brother. And I'm not going to the saloon after service. Psalm 18, verse 28 says, "For you will lighten my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." Let me give you the AKV version. That's the Artie Kasimis version. It says, "For you will light me up. The Lord my God lightens up my darkness." In other words, David said this. He says, "It is God who lights my candle." The only way I can get lit is not by liquor, it's by the Holy Ghost. And David said that. He says, I only get lit by God. He's the only one who can light me up. Look at the next verse. He says, "For by you I can run against a troop and I can leap over a wall." In other words, when God lights me up, when I get lit with the Holy Ghost, I can run through a troop of armies, of militaries, and I can be greater than Superman and jump over a wall. In a single bound, I'm able to stop a locomotive and faster than a speeding bullet because God lights me up. You should see yourself so indestructible when you have the Holy Spirit inside of you that it doesn't matter what happens, it doesn't matter how many variants come out in this world. I don't care if it's Omicron, I don't care if it's Alpha and Omega, you still stand strong because you have the greater one. Praise the Lord. I'm preaching better than your amen in me. If I take another offering, you'll say, start saying amens, right? Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Paul got lit. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he talked a lot about getting lit. I want you to think about him. He became so lit up that the devil was after him to kill him. He got so lit that he became dangerous. He was carrying this crazy ammunition into the world that 2,000 years later, what Paul got revelation of, how lit he got, is still changing lives. We still pray Paul's prayers in Ephesians 1. Lord, open up the eyes of my understanding. Give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. Show me my inheritance in Christ. Show me the greatness of your power which you worked in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all principalities and dominions and might and every name that is named. Jesus is higher. Paul gave us that revelation. You know how he got it? He got lit. Paul was chased down by the Jewish mafia. 40 Jewish guys took an oath and said, we will not eat another morsel of food until we kill that guy. He was shipwrecked. He was beat 39 times with lashes twice. He was bit by a poisonous snake. I mean, think about it. He was imprisoned so many times. And when he comes almost to the end of his life, guess what he says when he's standing in front of the king? He says, King Agrippa, I'm a happy man. And I'm sure King Agrippa looked at him and said, you must be lit. Can you imagine when we start walking around the earth lit up, not afraid what's going on, preaching Christ Jesus, the only Son of God, the only Savior in the world, the only one who can change your life, the only one who can heal your body. When medicine fails, Jesus can kick in and change your life. When your kids are strung out on drugs, Jesus can intervene and change their lives. Come on. We got the greatest message in the world. This is the most wonderful time of the year to preach Christ Jesus. But you can't do it unless you get lit. Get lit. Whew, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. You good? You getting lit yet? I'm going to light your candle this morning. Some of you don't feel like getting lit up, I guess. It's too early in the morning. Pastor, you can't get lit at 10:30 in the morning, 10:48 in the morning. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 16. Look what Paul says. He says, at my first defense. Everybody there? Yes? Take your time. Just hurry up. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. He says, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. Let's talk about Paul again. Everybody turned their backs on him. Anyone here ever feel rejected? Anyone's family turned away from them, turned their backs on them? Anybody feel betrayed? Spouse betray you? Friends betray you? Co-workers stab you in the back? Take credit for work you've done? Paul said, all forsook me. Paul knew what Paul had the same experiences we have, but he knew how to handle them. He got lit. Let me show you how he got lit. It says this, but my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Guess what? Paul said this. Paul said, you know what? After you guys all left me, actually, I'm kind of glad you all left me, because once you left me, Jesus came and stood by my side and he strengthened me. You know, sometimes you just need to write a postcard to people and say, hey, thanks for leaving. I'm so, bye-bye. I'm so glad you left, because when you were in my life, you really messed me up. But the day you left, Jesus showed up and strengthened me. The Holy Ghost came by my side and strengthened me. A lot of times we just feel like without this person, we can't live. We can't go on. Life is not. But God said, no, until they leave, I can't step in and help you out. You know why? Because Paul knew it's not in people. His joy did not come from people. His joy did not come from money. His joy did not come from things. His joy came only from God. And when God lit him up, he said, there's nothing that this world can do for me or give me. All can forsake me. I can be shipwrecked. I can be bitten by a snake. I can have a Jewish mafia after me, the mob after me. It don't matter. Because I got something the world can't take away. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. There's a reason why Jesus came. And one of the things Jesus said more than anything, and this is where it really bothers me, is that the church does not recognize the importance of the Holy Spirit in your life, in our lives. Jesus, let me say this. Jesus was not standing next to him. It was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit took on the form of Jesus because Jesus is in heaven. And he gave us the Holy Spirit to be with us. Not only to live inside of us, but live upon us. And so we don't recognize, you know, that it's the Holy Spirit's role. And he's the one who comes to light us up and to stand with us and to help us and to be with us, to never leave us nor forsake us. Because the only time Jesus is going to leave his seat in heaven is when the Father says, it's time. He's sitting there. Jesus is sitting right now at the right hand of the Father. Says, can I go back yet? Can I go back yet? Can I go back yet? And the Father say, nope, tick tock, tick tock. That's not tick tock, you know, tick tock. He's not watching tick tock. He's saying, tick tock, tick tock. It's not time yet. It's not time yet. My grace, still my grace. It's a time of grace. It's not time yet. And Jesus said, but I love them. I want to go back. I want to see them. I want to grab them. And God says, no. The Father says, nope, not yet. And the Father says, no, remember, they have the Holy Spirit. And if we would only recognize the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives and get lit with the Holy Spirit, let him fill us up with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. That's why James, he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations. In other words, you know, say, all right, I got to pay this bill. I owe this money. This guy hates me. I just got fired. And let me add it all up. Equals joy. Like, wait, you're supposed to be depressed. No, I can't get depressed when I got the Holy Spirit. I'm lit. And then when your neighbor says, what's wrong with you? Just say, get lit. Come to church and get drunk with the Holy Spirit. Get lit up. And you'll see the joy that I have. Because that joy is what helps me get through every situation. It's that joy that I have. Joyful. Joyful. Full of joy. Sing it. Huh? What? 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 Yeah, it's coming soon. Don't be afraid when people leave you. Don't be afraid when people reject you. Don't be afraid when people talk about you. Don't be afraid when all these things, because you got lit. Let me say this. The Holy Spirit inside of you is not afraid of anything. The Holy Spirit is fearless. He has zero fear of anything in this world. Don't think about people's opinions. Don't think about people's, you know, attitude. Don't get dragged down by people. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't care. He is not afraid of what people say about you. He's not afraid of Omicron. It just shocked me. You know, the news came out of South Africa that the doctor who sequenced the genome said it is not bad. But no, the whole world goes in fear, and even the church. I'm not saying deny it, but we are supposed to be fearless. By his stripes I was healed. I'm going to stand strong no matter what variant comes out. I'm not afraid of a Greek letter when I got the Greek letter Alpha and Omega in my life. I got the beginning and I got the end. And he knows everything in between. Why do they use Greek letters for? It annoys me. Everything is Greek. Absolutely nothing scares him. Even David said so. Psalm 34, verse 4. Psalm 34, verse 4. Psalm 34, verse 4. He said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Why do you think Paul told Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear? Because the Spirit of God is fearless. You can't scare him. You can't go, boo. He's fearless. Psalm 3:6, David says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Amen. I love David. He was fearless. Why? Because he knew God. When you know God, nothing scares you. Then, you know, we have people running around for their 25th booster shot already. Gosh. Again, I'm not, take the vaccine. I'm not against anything. But don't let fear drive your decisions. Make a decision, a conscious decision. Think it through. But if another one comes out, don't be afraid. Gas prices, they're going to say it's going to go up. Don't be afraid. God is able to supply the need. Amen. Praise Jesus. David and Paul with the Holy Spirit, God kept them from collapsing. When you get lit, God will keep you from falling. God will keep you from collapsing under the weight of fear. You know what struck me interesting the other day? I was reading the scriptures in Acts 5, I think it is, where Peter's shadow, when it touched people, they were healed. So I said to myself, how far is a shadow? I said, you know, the average shadow is about 6 feet. So now I see why they want to keep people 6 feet away from me. So lately I've been going 5 feet next to people. Saying, praise the Lord Jesus. Father God, let my shadow touch that person and let them be blessed and changed. Let the Holy Spirit fall upon them. Let them get lit right now. If they give you a dirty look, say, whoops, sorry about that. Get lit, folks. You got the Holy Ghost inside of you. You got the power of the living God living inside of you. You got the fearless one living inside of you. He is able to keep you from falling. He is able to keep you from collapsing under the weight of the world. Listen to the news, it'll drive you crazy. Listen to the word, it'll make you get lit. You'll walk around with a smile on your face wherever you go. Praise the Lord. Paul said this. Listen, Paul had so much revelation. He had so much weight on him. The whole world was after him to kill him because he was a dangerous man. He had the gospel of Jesus Christ, the life-changing message of Jesus. And he came to a point, and Jesus said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. He says, don't worry about it. Don't be afraid, Paul. I got your back. He said, but as messenger of Satan has been assigned to buffet me, says, so what? I got you. When you're weak, that's when I'm strong. And by the way, Paul, I'm the fearless one. I'm the strong one. They ain't nobody stronger than me. Go to Romans chapter 8. Ring that bell? What bell? Bring your shadow over here. Oh, by the way, I want to thank Cindy for making me a nice jet Santa Claus. Cindy. I'll be watching. It's my fireplace? No, that's me after the Jets lost again. See, it's like. Romans chapter 8. Watch this. Romans chapter 8. Verse 26. Watch what Paul says. Paul says, likewise, everybody there? He says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, the first part of this verse is very interesting when you look at it from the Greek. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. The word help in the Greek is the word voithia. It's a word we use all the time. Like, hey, can you help me out? Can you write voithia? You know the word, right? Any other? Where's my paisans? You're not Greek. I know you want to be Greek.
No.
Oh, no. Italians were Greek. We discovered Italy. Remember that. Everything is Greek. Even Puerto Rico was Greek. Dominican Republic was Greek once. So the Greek word help, the Greek word that we use for help is the word voithia, but it's not the word he's using here. He uses a different word. Can you put up the first big Greek word, Sharon? I had to write it out. No, you didn't spell it right. It's an O at the end. Maybe my handwriting was not good, but there's an O at the end. So the Greek word here is not, it's not a band, Greek band. It's an O at the end. As soon as she fixes it, it's synandilamvano. That's the Greek word here. It's synandilamvano is what it says. So it's a very different Greek word. It's very specific to what it means. And it says here that the Holy Spirit will do that. So we translate help in English, but it's really not help. The Greek word is, that's three words together. Syn, S-Y-N, is like synonym, synergy. You ever hear those words? It means like something that's the same or in agreement with, right? Andilamvano, anti, you know what anti means, opposite, right? So then you come to the word lamvano. That word means to take to yourself. So it's saying here, so to break it down, this Greek word is saying that he agrees with you, but he's doing the opposite of taking to himself. Let me explain. Right? Notice he does this in our weaknesses. The Greek word for weakness is sickness, it's disease, it's frailty, it's when you just can't go on anymore. Right? You know when you just feel like you can't go on anymore? Yeah. When you just had enough? Huh? No, he says when you can't go on anymore. When you're at your point of giving up. That's what the word weakness means there. So it's sickness, it's disease, it's can't go on and I'm ready to give up. It's a whole bunch of Greek words. So it says he, the Holy Spirit, okay, this is where you're going to get lit. He says the Holy Spirit will agree and do opposite of taking you to himself. Okay, let me explain. So let me give you the opposite of that word. Matthew 24, verse 40, there's an opposite of that word. The opposite of that word is paralamvano. Put up the next word, please. It's the word paralamvano. Now in Matthew 24, verse 40 and 41, it talks about, and you'll know this, at the end time, there'll be two in a field. One will be taken. The word taken is paralamvano. So you got the same Greek word, lamvano, but the add-ons, the prefixes, don't change the word, but change the direction of the word. So if I'm in Matthew 24 and I'm talking about Jesus coming and taking to himself, right? Lamvano means to take to himself. Paralamvano means to take from where they're at and take them to himself. For instance, Spiro is down there. Spiro, come over here one second. Spiro is down there, so I'm going to paralamvano. I'm going to take Spiro by the hand and take him to myself. Okay? Notice he was down there and I brought him up here where I am. That's paralamvano. Okay, you can step back there. Stay right there. Synandilamvano means that I see what you're going through. I know what you're going through. Now I'm coming down to where you are to take you to myself. Difference. Did you see that? The end result is still here, but it's a different role that I play. The Holy Spirit plays a different role in your life than the rapture. Thank you, sir. So in the rapture, he comes and just picks you up where he is. But now, when you're going through troubles, he comes down and says, I know what you're going through. And he's down in the pit with you, helping you, holding you, comforting you, and saying, come on, let's get out of here. I'll show you how to get out. So when it says he helps, he doesn't just provide a hand. He sin down ni lambano to us. He literally comes down into the pit that you're at, and he grabs a hold of you. He takes you through it and brings you up on the other side. See, a lot of times people say, God, get me out of this. And God's like, no, I'm going to come down there and walk you through it. I'll show you great and mighty things while we're there together. And when you got the Holy Spirit down there with you, that's when you become fearless. Now listen, the Holy Spirit is an expert of coming down and fixing your mess and bringing you through your troubles. The Holy Spirit is not afraid of jumping in the pit with you. The Holy Spirit is an expert at the pit. The Holy Spirit has a lot of pit experience. Let me tell you why the Holy Spirit is not afraid of jumping in your mess and helping you out. Because the Holy Spirit jumped down into the bowels of hell, the worst pit in the world, where the fire and brimstone were, demons were all, and it grabbed Jesus and brought him out. So if he can go way down there to the worst pit, he's got some really good pit experience. He's got a doctorate, a PhD in pit. And he jumped down there. He wasn't afraid to get in there. That's why he's not afraid of anything that's going on in this world, because he was in the most feared place in the universe. And he conquered it. He jumped down in there and he grabbed Jesus and brought him out. If he can jump down in the pit of hell and raise Jesus from the dead, just think what he can do for you. He's got a PhD, a pit hole degree. That's why he's not afraid of anything. That's why he said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's why David said, when God lights me up, I'm going to run right through a troop. He says, I'll jump over a wall. He says, I don't care what happens. He says, if 10,000 aim their guns at me, I don't care. I'm going to run right through it because I got lit with the one who's been in the worst place ever. You know, we always say that, you know, well, somebody else has it worse than us. No one had it worse than Jesus. Go back to Psalm 18 a second. Get lit. Get lit. Look at your neighbor and say, get lit. Somebody turn to Tom and say, get lit, Tom. Or wake up, Tom. Get lit. Psalm 18. Look at Psalm 18. Verse 37. He says, I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. In other words, David said, I got so lit. He said, I didn't just stand there against them. I actually chased after them. He says, I pursued my enemies overtake. Neither did I turn back again until they were all destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. David said, I got so lit up, I didn't know what I was. I lost my mind. He said, I just went crazy. I went after my enemies. I actually went into the enemy's camp. Amen. Think about Caleb. Anybody know Caleb? Joshua and Caleb. At 40 years old, God told them to take the land. Remember? And he says, and then Joshua and Caleb, and there were 10 other spies. Remember the 12 spies? So God tells Moses, go take the land. And even though there's giants in the land, you are well able to take the land. So the 12 spies go, 10 of them said, there's no way we can do it. Joshua and Caleb said, let's go. God said we could take it. Let's go get it. All 12 got exactly what they said. Ten of them never made it to the promised land. Only Joshua and Caleb did, because they said they can do it. The other 10 said they couldn't do it, and guess what? They died off and didn't make it into the promised land. You better watch what you say, folks. When the Holy Spirit comes on you and he tells you something, don't disagree with him, because you'll have exactly what you say. So fast forward 45 years later, Caleb says to Joshua, he's 85 years old. Caleb says to Joshua, hey, Joshua, remember that mountain that God promised us? And Joshua's, yeah. He goes, I want it. I'm going to get it. And he says this, even though I'm 85, I'm as strong as an ox. And if God says I can have it, I want it. There's mountains that God wants you to take, folks. I don't care if you're 60 or 70 or 80. When you got the Holy Ghost and you get lit, you can accomplish great things. There is no limit to what you can do. Don't ever look at your age. Don't ever look at your school, your education, your GD or GED, and I don't care. God says you can do whatever you say, you put your mind to. Get lit. See, a lot of people try and speak to their mountain without being lit. You can never speak to your mountain until you get lit with the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost came on them, that's when they said something. That's when they did something. When the Holy Ghost came on Samson, that's when he went and invaded enemy territory. He couldn't do it until that. When the Holy Ghost came on Elijah, he outran the chariots. When you get lit, nothing is impossible. Jesus said it. Absolutely nothing is impossible to him that believes. There's for years, runners have been trying to beat the 4-minute mark in the mile, 4-minute mile. For years they try to do it. 1922, a gentleman came at 4 minutes and 10 seconds. 1933, another gentleman came in at 4 minutes and 7 seconds. 1944, came in at 4 minutes and 1 second. It was thought to be impossible. Nobody could beat a 4-minute mile. In 1957, I think it is, Randy Bannister ran a 3-minute and 59-second mile. He broke the barrier. And once he did, many ran in after him. But it took one person to break down a barrier. It took one person to take the limits off of what people say. When you get lit, you'll run through a troop. When you get lit, you'll jump over a wall. When you get lit, you'll take territories. When you get lit, you'll come up with ideas and inventions and things that'll bless your family. When you get lit, you'll speak faith into your family. My family will serve the Lord. My kids will serve the Lord. And I will leave an inheritance to my children's children. When you get lit, nothing is impossible for you. Praise the Lord. All right, Luke chapter 24. And then we'll be done. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Now, the reason why I picked this sermon to get lit is because we're supposed to start lighting Advent candles. It's a time, right, Christmas candlelight service. Everything is about light. But if we don't have the Holy Spirit and we get lit, doesn't matter how many candles you light up. Oh, boy. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Watch this. Luke chapter 24. Jesus rose from the dead, verse 13. You there? Luke 24, verse 13. This is just after Jesus rose from the dead. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. They didn't recognize him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another, as you walk and are sad?" Then one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things which have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" Now you know he's egging them on, because he is the one they're talking about. So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, word and before God and all the people." And they go on and say a bunch of things. Then verse 24, it says, "And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it was the women who had said, but him they did not see." Verse 25, "Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe in all the prophets, in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself." Guess what he was doing? He was lighting them up. He was giving them revelation of scripture. He said, "Okay, it's fulfilled. I'm resurrected. Now let me show you where in scripture it said, so maybe you can get lit." Verse 28, "Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us.'" Now verse 30, "Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight." Watch the next verse. "And they said to one another, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scripture to us?'" In other words, when Jesus was speaking the word, their candle was being lit up. He goes, "Didn't you notice, you know, like earlier today when he was talking to us, didn't you feel a burning inside of you, Cleopas?" You know, what is his name? Cleopas, right? He said, "Didn't you feel that?" "Yeah, I felt that too." "John, Peter, how about you?" "Yeah, I felt that too." Because God was trying to light your candle. Don't miss an opportunity for God to light your candle. He's sitting right there with them and they didn't even know it. In other words, you're sitting here right now and God's trying to light you up. Open up the windows and let the light in. Get lit. Gosh. Ay, 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 ay. I just want to see the church people get on fire for God. I don't want to go through another traditional Christmas without the Holy Spirit lighting up some folks. I want there to be meaning to this, to all the lights that we put up. I want there to be meaning to the poinsettias and all that. This is not a religious exercise. He didn't come to give us religious rules. He came to give us a relationship. He came to light our candle. And you want to be that supernatural Christian? Get lit. Amen. Get fired up with the Holy Ghost. Let the Holy Ghost burn within you. Get lit, folks. Hallelujah. Amen.